In this episode of Aside Our Data, I interview Joseph Carmona about conformance checking algorithms and applications. I'm Anton Yeshenko and welcome to Aside of Data, a podcast about unconventional side of data science. Today, I talk to Joseph Carmona, who is an associate professor at Polytechnic University of Catalonia. He is an active contributor in a range of fields connected to data science, that is process mining, business process management, etc. He is developing research projects such as process discovery and process conformance algorithms, process mining library for Python PM lab, and industry projects with insurance providers, gas suppliers, and others. This year, with other researchers, he published a book on conformance checking for process mining. I'm excited to talk about your experience, and welcome to Aside of Data, Joseph.
So thank you very much for inviting me. It's a real pleasure to be here and to share a bit the work that we do in my group, especially the research we are doing in conformance checking, but also in the general field of process mining. So thanks a lot.
And actually the first very basic question, because I think different people understand behind what stands behind process mining in general, different things. So what is process mining for you?
That's a good question. So for me, process mining, it's mainly three perspectives. The perspective of learning, and this is fully covered by process discovery. And in here is the general game of I have data and I want to discover a process model that explains faithfully this data. This is the first perspective, you know, obtaining a process model that I can use afterwards. But then there is the operational side of it. Let's say I have a process model, and this process model can be, you know, either discovered or simply designed manually. And I want to know from some time on whether the data I have from that time on is aligned with this process model. And this is the second perspective, which is conformance checking. And that facilitates a lot the insights on what is the reality with respect to the process model. And this is very helpful for organizations. And the third perspective, which is also very important, is enhancement. And this is very well established in the book by Will van der Aast, for instance, which is, okay, the process model is an evolving entity. It might change in 3 weeks from now, so that I want to have some automate way to really change this process model because reality is changing, but also extend it because reality sometimes is giving us insights that I want to see them upfront in my process model. So these are the three perspectives, and they are fairly different, but they complement each other very well. And this is for me process mining.
Oh, good, because actually no one speaks about the third type of process mining, about enhancement, because whoever I ask is mentioning the discovery and the conformance checking, and then full stop.
But to be honest, in conformance checking, we already assume that this third perspective is part of it somehow, because this enhancement perspective starts right from, you know, the insights you get from conformance. Once you get deviations, or once you can replay the data you have in your event log on top of the process models, then at that point you can extend the process model, you can repair the process model. So you cannot think on enhancement on its own without conformance checking. And this is why sometimes they are encapsulated between these.
Okay. So maybe let's talk a little bit more for the audience who doesn't know anything about processes and process mining. Let's go also deeper into the topic that we want to talk, and that is conformance checking. How would you simply explain? Let's maybe with some example. What process conformance checking does?
Say you are a company with a particular, very strategic process that you are not satisfied. But you don't know what's wrong with it. Is it that people executing the process is not following it as expected? Is it that certain paths in the process model are never visited? Is the process model you are using, it's outdated? So conform and checking and reveals this type of problems. So you can evidence-based reasoning on the data you have, on the process model you have, and you can pinpoint the problems a certain process may have. This is why I said that conform and checking is focusing more on the operational side. And therefore, it facilitates gaining insights on the reality from the eyes of the process model. So you look reality from the eyes of the process model. So you don't have to really go on tables of data, but you just look at the reality from the process model that you trust or you want to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very, very, very convenient because it simplifies the task of monitoring real executions.
Okay, so the process model, what do you understand by process model?
A conceptualization of the task required to perform a certain process. It can be, a graph that describes the sequence of tasks required or the sequence of decisions you might make. So that typically is meant as a BPMN or PetriNet or any declarative process representation you can use.
So basically the process model describes the workflow of the that is required to achieve some outcome or some objective, and then
only the workflow, you can have also data attached to it, which is very important. For instance, data that talks about decisions that you have to make, and this makes the task of conform and checking very challenging, because if you look at the raw process model, let's say, you have, the control flow of what are the possible traces you can have for the process you are modeling. But then if you go on, what are the possible roles, what are the possible data or the possible decisions that you can have, then we have a conceptual model that looks several, perspectives at the same point.
Okay.
And control flow is just one of the perspectives, a very important one.
So let's maybe give some example, like about any process that you like.
So I was listening some of your previous audio, and there was the example of the loan applications that is used along the book we just published, but there are many others, like for instance the treatment process. So how a particular organization is following a certain process for a certain disease, or you can know the hiring process, how a certain organization is hiring someone, what are the steps it should be followed. Notice that here, as I said, perspectives are important. So there can be a process that runs not only on a particular, isolated department, but can span all over several departments in an organization. So all this information can be just encapsulated in a, let's say, very clean and unambiguous process representation, like in BPMN and the like.
Okay, so for example, this recruitment process, there will be steps such as contact a candidate, then conduct interviews, and the data that you were talking about will be the data about the customer or
instantiations of this process, like, for instance, we can record, and currently organizations, some of them are forced to record all this process information and all these tasks that happened historically, you have them in your information systems. And that is the starting point, let's say, for process mining. You have all this data that talks about processes, and you can go really fine granular to have events, and each one of these events should be related to the tasks of your conceptual model. You need to have a way to relate, what you stored in reality to the task of your conceptual model. And this is precisely what conform and checking does.
Okay, so if in very simple words, conformance checking will have this model how process should be, and then taking the data, the real data, will try to match them and understand what's the actual difference between what should be and what it is.
Indeed.
Right?
That is that is the main goal of conformance checking. So you can relate that to, for instance, the BPM life cycle. So if we want to relate conformance checking, and you look the life cycle of continuous process improvement, you can find that in the well BPM book by Marlon Duma and others. In there, there is a very important step. So that if you want to achieve continuous improvement between monitoring the process and rediscovering the new version of your new process, and in there explicitly you need to do conformance checking, either manually or like the conformance checking we apply in here, we propose here, which is finding automated ways to do it more efficiently and automated.
So now you're saying that there's also a manual way. So like, if to talk about the types of conformance checking, how would you cluster or categorize them?
So, as I said, the core technique that facilitates conformance checking is what we all have already discussed before. So I have a trace, to oversimplify it. I have a trace that is real behavior that happened in my organization. And to align this trace to a certain conceptual model, this is the fundamental problem. And for this, there are several attempts that you can find in the literature. But we can summarize into three very important ones, which is using rules. So you summarize your conceptual model as a set of rules, and then you check whether these rules are satisfied on the traces. This is one way of doing, and which is fairly viable for current organizations. But then if you want to find, for instance, a more fine-grained information, you have, like, you can play with the execution semantics of your conceptual model and try to replay the trace on top of the conceptual model. This is the token-based relation between the trace and the other model. And finally, the most general, most complete way of doing aligning even data with process model is finding an alignment, and this is fairly similar to the applications that you have in bioinformatics. You want to align the traces that you see with certain DNA traces. So here is the same. We have the conceptual model that might allow for infinite behavior, because you see a conceptual model might have loops. And these loops can loop forever, in principle. In reality, we know that this is not that happens. But the conceptual model has an infinite language, and the trick here is to find among this language the best trace that aligns to the reality. Because that becomes the explanation from the model's perspective of what happened in reality. And that is the fundamental problem. But there are many more types of conformance checking, as you ask. For instance, once we have certain alignment, that it can be these three possibilities, then you want to have metrics that give you some confidence on the quality of the process model you have. For instance, and those who are familiar with machine learning or statistics, you can consider the fitness of the process model, whether it is precise or general, or whether it is simple, and the same principles are applied here in conformance checking. So there is a bunch of techniques that help you into estimating whether a process model is fitting or precise. And here fitting means that all the traces that I've seen can be reproduced in my process model. And precise means that, okay, my process model is the best model in representing the language, so I don't have much extra behavior. And these are two very important visions on how to relate process models. There are many more types of conformance checking. So you see, we went from really algorithmic perspectives, how to find an alignment, to metrics, how to evaluate the relation between process models and even data. But then you can then go on, what is the type of information you incorporate when you do conformance checking? So you can only, and we already discussed that you can incorporate only control flow, but also you can incorporate other perspectives, and the problem becomes very challenging, because but also very, very useful. For instance, you can realize that the explanation for a certain deviation is not just hidden in the control flow, but in the data. For instance, the rejection of a loan application is only explainable due to a mistake in the recording of a certain amount. And this is the way to explain the best the loan application failure according to your process model. And, you know, we are not there yet. So there is also different ways of applying conformance checking. So you can, for instance, consider applying the conformance checking as we have been discussing so far offline, but also you can apply conformance checking online, meaning that you want to have a fast reaction to deviations. So it's like you can, for instance, at the end of the month, apply conformance checking and realize that you deviated a lot. But maybe some...
Just like an anomaly analysis, something like that.
Yeah. So you want to really be able to influence the current instances that are not yet finished, so that you can reconduct the execution to a satisfying outcome. And this is, you know, the versions of conformance checking online, mm-hmm. offline, and this.
Okay, but if talking about these three main types of conformance checking, the rule-based, replay-based, and alignments. As I understood, you talk mainly about alignments because it's the most, I would say, scientific and the most advanced tool. But I guess it comes with its disadvantages, right? Like, how would you talk about these three, how would you kind of compare them between each other?
A very good question. So, if we talk about alignments, the current situation, we have a very nice paradox, which is we can mine process models of thousands of activities. And this is fairly easy for the current technology of process discovery. But unfortunately, when it comes to certify their quality via conformance checking, we cannot. So, and we can only do it with, you know, those techniques that are like rule-based and token-based replay that are cheaper than alignment. So if I have to compare the three of them, I would say alignments is the complete version of the other two. So rule checking is a heuristic, and it's also very resilient. Sorry, it's not resilient to the way you pick the particular rules. So given a process model, you can generate as many rules as you can wish. So you are never certain of whether you have a conformant model. But for instance, if you have a process owner that knows what to check, maybe he can pick up the right rules and then he can have confidence. So rule checking in certain contexts is a very useful and very cheap way of verifying conformance. And token-based replays is something in the middle. So you can do it end-to-end traces. You don't have to rely on picking the right rules, but you can have local decisions that affect the global conformance insights that you can get. So it's token-based should be understood as a heuristic for the whole complete technique that is alignment computation.
So by the way, I just recently recorded an episode, previous episode of the same podcast, with Paul Schumacher from Celonis, and I asked him a question: what would you wish for academia to develop, like to concentrate their power? And he said, they're happy about everything in process mining apart from the speed of conformance checking algorithms.
Yes, I know that. I've been visiting Celonis, and we have been discussing precisely this. And I know, and they know that they should also, for their tool to be, you know, responsive for general and big process models and logs, they need to, we academia need to help them into that, but not only to Celonis, to some other tool vendors that contain conformance checking facilities. This is plain clear.
By the way, if you would, which tools, academic tools and also industry tools that you know, which tools do have conformance checking of some kind?
So I'm not very aware of the whole market, but I know for sure that Celonis, Lana, and some others, I don't see the, but for sure, Lana and Celonis contain conformance checking features. But as I said, there might be others. I'm not following straight away the market, but I'm familiar with these two. That, and in fact, it is fairly well implemented, let's say, and it is very useful and give very nice insights. I've seen that. So, for instance, in my I have some several occasions to teach with these tools, and it's people, for instance, I teach for here in Barcelona with there is a course for professionals, and I have someday I teach them conformance checking. I show Celonis and sometimes Lana, sometimes other tools feedback for conformance checking, and when they see how they provide a list of root cause of deviations, and they are amazed. They say, okay, I need to show this to my company.
Nice. And what about PM Lab, your Python library? Does it have conformance checking?
It has a form of conformance checking. This is unfortunately a project that is no longer very active. So we start that. I think it was probably we did that mostly in 2014.
Oh, okay. It's,
And we recently, together with Matthias Weidlich from Berlin, and also Andrea Buratin from Copenhagen, we reshaped a bit in the last couple of years, and we eventually work on that. But let's say that it's not up to the level of other similar libraries like PM for PI and other similar libraries, because we don't have the manpower to work on that.
Okay, yes.
But it is nice that it was the first one scripting in Python library that appeared and maybe influenced some of the current ones.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't heard of it in the time that I needed it, like several years ago. Yes.
Too bad.
Yes. Do you actually apply on some maybe projects with industry conformance checking? You have some examples or success stories that you have achieved it?
Not on my own, mostly. For instance, now I'm in discussions with a company to incorporate conformance checking, and in a very particular field. So now RPA is a growing field, and it's everywhere, let's say, and this is manifested by the acquisition. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Of Process Gold by UiPath. I don't know if you are aware of that.
Yes, I saw on LinkedIn.
So this there are very clear connections between process mining and RPA. And in here in Spain, I'm in discussions with some company that applies at large RPA in
RPA is a robotic process automation.
Robotic process automation. Yes. And I'm not an expert of that, but I understand more or less the basics. And we realized that in there is a very nice opportunity for conformance checking in the following sense. Imagine that you have a robot that automates a particular task, which is iterative or whatever. And this task requires to go to certain web page, fill some form, doing several things and finish. Okay. But then they said that they have a lot of problems when these web pages, this, you know, this information, these information systems that the robots interacts might change. So for instance, a web page just change the style or put the button in a different situation. Then they don't have a means to identify these problems. And then I suggested them that conformance checking is the best. So if you can have a conceptual description of the process of the robot, then you know when there are deviations. And if there are deviations, they can be really used to repair this conceptual description of the model and deploy the new version of the robot that incorporates this. So we are trying to go in this direction, and I hope we can get somewhere in terms of nice collaboration.
That sounds interesting, very interesting. And what about in general your latest research objectives, or what are you now interested in?
Unfortunately, I'm, as maybe you can grasp from our discussion, I'm not really working that close to companies. I'm more closely on the fundamental research that facilitates conformance checking. And mostly, if you look my work in the last, let's say, 10 years, is about facilitating the fundamental problem of aligning even data with conceptual process models. So I'm working right on that, there is a hope that we can get in few years some techniques that then companies like Celonis, as they told to you, can use it. And this is my main research. But I have many other interests and also some works. For instance, I'm very interested in facilitating conformance checking also for unstructured information, process information. For instance, what happens when you have not an event log as a description of your data, of your process, but instead you have a textual description, and then you want to align the process model with the textual description. And this might also be a very nice use case for organizations, especially those ones that they need to start up certain monitoring of their execution, and they might be willing to reach all the possible profiles you may have in the organizations. So I'm trying to widen the scope of this alignment technology to also unstructured process information. So this information that you don't have a data model to play with, like text or whatever, for instance, images, why not? This type of things, I think it's very interesting. Also, I'm of course interested in metrics for conformance checking. There has been a lot of research in the last 10 years on providing metrics to assess when a process model is fitting or precise or general. But there is still a long way to go, and I see that other groups are also really working hard on that, and I'm happy for that. But I will continue working on that. Also in log repair and model repair, this is something that I've considered, and multi perspective conformance checking. This is something that we just talked briefly, but I think it's one very important direction for really having a 360 degrees of the problem of alignment data and processes. I think multi-perspective conformance checking is very important, and very few research has been done so far because the problem is very complex. So if companies like Celonis would like to have only control flow conformance checking working, now imagine when you incorporate more dimensions. This would be crazy, but also very facilitating for them. So several research I'm considering.
And what was the last paper that you're proud of that got accepted or submitted that you can describe some?
So we are working now incorporating for the problem of conformance checking, and in particular the problem of computing alignments. We are working a lot into approximating alignments. So remember, we said alignment computation is the most complex, but it's the most complete way of relating event data and process models.
But yeah, so basically, what you do, you have a process model, and then you find the best path from the start, from the beginning to the end, that is representing the trace from the real world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
something like this.
But then,
and you're now looking for approximate.
Yeah, we are trying to approximate, because at the end, if you think a bit, is a bit of a philosophical question. What does it makes? What does it makes that the trace that you compute is the one that actually happened? So the optimal in terms of edit distance is a fairly very well explained of what happened. But it might be very well the case that it's not the optimal, but another one which is not the optimal. So we are really researchers struggling into getting the optimal trace that mimics the observed trace. But sometimes you can deal with approximations, and that might be okay. And therefore, I'm working very hard into, you know, in the trade-off between the quality in terms of edit distance of the trace you compute and the complexity of the algorithm. So, for instance, recently we are working on using partial order representations of the process models. And we have a series of papers on that. And I think this will have an impact in the future, because if you have typically what happens is that if the models are well structured, typically the partial representation of them is, and a partial representation is a representation which contains no loops. And therefore the representation is finite. And if you can apply algorithms on top of this finite representation, typically the complexity of these algorithms is small on this path, on this partial representation. And the good news is that we have measured in reality, for instance, what is the size of a partial order representation of current process models you can have in the literature, in the benchmarks, and they are fairly the same size. So you just create a partial representation of your process model. So we create what is called an unfolding. And this unfolding is typically the same size of the initial process model, but then the algorithms on these unfoldings, most of them are polynomial. So we have using, for instance, unfoldings to reach these alignments, but also using other techniques like constraint satisfaction or SAT on top of the unfoldings to get fairly very good approximations of the traces of your process model, and I will continue, and I think this is this has a lot of potential.
It's interesting, because now if I think about everything you said, there are several problems coming to this to this type of conformance checking, because you have a process model, then you need the quality metrics. Basically, when you try to align a trace to the process model, you need to measure how good is the alignment, and basically if you get the that quality metric wrong, then basically even if you make it if you kind of get the right solution, but it was computed for the wrong metric, then basically why not you compute for the just approximate solution much faster if the metric is anyway wrong? So I'm just saying that this trade-off, that you're looking for the right solution, but maybe metric was wrong first place.
I agree with you, but there are also situations where you don't need to really rely on the optimal or the right solution. Imagine that you just want to use the alignment to enhance the process model with performance information. And it is okay to not rely in something that choose the right path always. But in general, if you want to provide, it is very likely, and we prove in the papers, that our solutions are very close to the optimal ones. So it is very funny, because maybe you rely on, you lose the warranty on optimality, but then you get a high decrease on the complexity of the problem. And that, you know, opens the door to really, for certain use cases, use this type of approximations.
Yeah, sounds good, because especially, yeah, as I said, for performance, it's to show bottlenecks, and you don't really need to be 100% yeah. precise. And if you would talk, what advice would you give to people who use those techniques that are already available? Because now you're saying that there's so many different researches going on conformance checking alone, and there are different tools that partially support, don't support, support more fully, like PROM, for example. And if there are some practitioners who want to try it out. So what would you advise them to do?
So I would say it's not an easy path. There is a learning curve. So to understand what is conformance checking is not as easy as understanding process discovery. Process discovery is clear. So I don't have a model, I have a model. In here, conformance checking is trying to really prove the intuition you have on your process model. And I think they can have these techniques. They can use conformance checking to really back up the intuition they have on the real executions, or really maybe reject them. Because the typical, if you talk with these people that usually applies process mining projects in reality, they will always say this story. So, you know, we talked to the process owner and the process owner told me, you know, my process works like this and it cannot be the case that, you know, this trace could appear in reality. Then we store, then a typical process mining project will store the data, will apply conformance checking and will say, look, here you have one example. And then the first three cases that are more frequent deviations, they will have an explanation for this. So typically the intuition they have is sometimes good. So they have very good explanations. Oh, you know, this is in France. And in France, the regulation is like this. So don't worry about this deviation. It is fine. But then you look at the fourth case, the fourth deviation, and they say, oops, this shouldn't happen in my organization. So I would say that there is a learning curve to use these techniques, and it's improving a lot in the last 2 or 3 years. For instance, in the techniques like Celonis or Lana Labs, they make it so easy for you to use conformance checking, very much easier than the way it was like 3 or 4 years ago. But still, you have to rely on having the ability to know what you are looking for and to explain what you have. But it's worth the learning. It's worth for any organizations to incorporate these techniques. And now you can apply them at very different levels. So you can apply at the level of user, end user, like you can do it with Lana, with Celonis and some other. But you can also use the tools you mentioned, like PM4PI or I think Bupar now has a bridge to use conformance checking, or Apromore also has this, and of course Prom. So you can use these techniques also if you want to really, if you have some techie in your group that can use them easily and give you insights. And I'm sure we will see more and more this type of techniques in the near future.
Nice. I also caught from your explanation that it's very nice to also have some kind of background on the process, some context to understand that, okay, there might be deviations, but they are normal, they're total normal for that.
Yeah. I think also, and that is, if you go a bit more general discussion, maybe more philosophical discussion, what we are doing with process mining, or in BPM in general, are we automating? Are we getting rid of people? No way. I think we are relocating them into something that is more creative. And conformance checking is a perfect description of that. So it is meant to provide insights on the deviations so that the process owner can make decisions on top of these deviations, not on top of intuitions, but on top of evidences that are relating the conceptual model he might have on his brain and the reality. And then he is not expected to look for big tables of data. He is expected to make the real decisions to improve the process. So I think it's a natural
this,
way.
This promise of not removing people sounds like every machine learning conference keynote.
But I think we need to also rely on that, because as I said, I'm not very expert on, you know, doing too many projects in industry, but what I heard is typically that you have the process owner, the people where you are talking to when in a process mining project, they are very, very, very afraid of, you know, disclosing their process. And they should look at it as an augmentation of their their capability, not being afraid, because this is an augmentation. The decisions they make on their daily basis might be really improved by using conformance checking. This is clear.
Okay. And if you would advise some resources or how to start and what how to dive into conformance checking, apart from the book that I will actually link in the show notes to your book.
But, thanks. So apart from the book, I think there is also the process mining book by Will van der Aals. And in the second edition, I think there is also a good description of conformance checking. And for those of you who already have this process mining book, this is a good starting point, and I think this is good. Also, there is, of course, the process mining manifesto, which is a bit outdated, but still it talks about conformance checking, and you can follow a bit the challenges. Also, I think a very nice source of information for those who are more practitioners is the use cases for process mining that you can find in the IEEE Task Force on Process Mining. If you Google that, you will go to the webpage of this task force that will be changing in few weeks from now. It will be more modern now. But in there, you can find use cases. And for instance, there are about 15, I think, use cases for conformance checking in fields like logistics, healthcare. And you can see there were successful stories of using conformance checking in different fields like manufacturing, logistics, healthcare. And I think it's a very good starting point to get motivation.
Okay. Maybe you also can send me and I will link those too in the show notes.
Of course.
Okay. Great.
I'm happy.
Yeah. Great. Actually, I was keeping to two questions until the end as a bonus questions. So one question, what is the difference in process mining? What's the difference between conformance checking and drift, process concept drift?
Oh, you mean, concept drift typically applies to evolving processes in organizations. So typically you want to detect drifts, and this is something that you can do in different contexts. So you can do it just by using the data you have in the event log, but you can also do it by discovering a process model and rediscovering again and checking for difference. But you can do it more like data-oriented techniques, so detecting the drift. And it is very important that concept drift detection is on place when you apply any process mining project. So concept drift facilitates really or disables the mess you can get for, you know, periods where two process instances have been stored in your information system, because then you will learn a process which is a merge of the two. And typically this does not happen. Processes change, but then when they stabilize, it's a new process, not the half of each one of those. So concept drift in process mining is very important and is considered as a let's say sanity check for the event logs you want to deal. So of course we are assuming that conformance checking is applied only on a version of a process model, and this can only be tell if you have done first concept drift detection to really set the right window. Mm-hmm. For analyzing your process.
So you want to say that we have, for example, 10 years of data. Then we find concept drifts and we find a kind of stable period of event log, and we applied conformance checking to find even closer deviations.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you have a 10 years of data and the process has changed, or imagine that you have is a sales company and you have winter sales, the process for winter sales, and the process for summer sales. Or 5 years ago, in this 10 years period, they introduced a new payment, okay? They can now pay with Bitcoins. So shall I compare the current process with the data before of that? Because then it will always detect deviations when I pay with Bitcoins. So these type of things should be taken into account to really, you know, isolate the real deviations from historical deviations for which the current version of the process model shouldn't be paying attention, because this is something that was in the past, not now.
Okay, nice.
So it is very important.
Nice to have that clear. And one last question. How can you, use conformance checking to detect deviations that haven't happened yet? Maybe with some predictive algorithms or something like that. What about that?
So I think you can estimate deviations, and this can be done with predictive monitoring. And then there is a whole field of using this, and I think it is very interesting. That is very interesting. And the idea here is to classify, using certain classification techniques, supervised techniques from the past, and to detect the current state you are, and predict that in the case of the loan application, if I'm, you know, a gold member and I ask for a certain amount, and I'm in this state in the process model, so before the trace finish, it is very likely that at some point I will need to iterate, because this information historically I didn't provide and I need to provide. And then I think this type of techniques can be done, but this is kind of, let's say, a mere application of current data science technique. So I think it can be done, but of course not with a formal warranty, but just an apt estimation of what should happen. I've seen, for instance, now that you say, I'm part of a project that tries to use process mining in the healthcare sector, and sometimes they simulate the process so that, for instance, they can anticipate certain queuing in a certain, you know, process, for instance, the waiting time for having a certain surgery, or the waiting time for being served, you know, and we are doing like simulation on top of that. So you detect the day, you consider contextual factors like today is Friday, and on Friday, you know, people tend to go more often to the doctor. And then they also consider the current state, which is contextual to the process. Let's say it is Friday and we are in the general practitioner and it is winter, and, you know, we already have 25 people and the doctor didn't stop yet. So then they use this information to simulate what would happen in the next 3 hours, and then assign resources accordingly, so that this deviation that might have, this, you know, this performance degradation is solved, and you are relieving the system somehow. So we are doing this type of things, and I think it's this is magic 10 years ago, but now we can do it with process mining.
Okay. I'm very happy. I think I have no questions left. Thank you very much for an interview, and I will be looking forward for that to get online soon.
Thank you very much, Anton, and nice to be with you and chat with you today.
Thank you for listening for this episode of A Side of Data. In case you have questions, follow them to asideofdata@protonmail.com, or reach us at Twitter @asideofdata. Subscribe for more episodes in the future.